Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Anderson Kimball of the News Tribune. And before Anderson and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of his conversation with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
I guess, kind of, just to start looking back on film from last week, what, I guess, is kind of the biggest thing that you and the team kind of want to improve on this week?
I don't think there is just one thing. We take each week as its own entity to try to see what we can learn from it. I think what we learned most powerfully last week is that we can absolutely be better. We will be better. That's why we practice. We played a quality opponent. Now we look forward to this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess kind of then looking forward to this week, what are, I guess, some of the kind of things that the team's going to kind of be focusing on?
Just doing what we do, continuing to get better. It's a continual climb. We've never claimed to be a finished product. We hope to keep growing and adjusting and getting better and better.
All right, that was Jays head coach Damon Wells. And Anderson, I think we were kind of all hoping for a little bit tighter game last week. The bottom line is it's a 51-7 loss at Helias, and I guess, you know, just chalk it up to the Crusaders and their defense were just as good as advertised.
Yeah, I mean, they were just kind of better in every way, really, and there wasn't a whole much Jefferson City could really do about that. I mean, they were able to kind of just stop the running out the middle and really clog up the line of scrimmage, and at that point, they didn't really... The Jays were forced to kind of throw the ball and do things that they don't really like to do offensively. Okay. And so then they just were put in tough spots and they couldn't really capitalize.
Yeah.
And then that set up, you know, the Helias offense with good field position. They were able to play really well too, and things kind of just spiraled after that.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by the result, I guess. I kind of could see that coming. I think the separation maybe was a little bit surprising to me from the standpoint of, I thought the way that the Jays offense had been kind of being able to generate points, even against some of the heavier, you know, the heavy hitters on their schedule, you know, from the early portion of the schedule, they were still able to put up points. I think it was just is from this standpoint of the 7 was the most surprising thing to me.
Yeah.
And maybe not the fact that Helias scored 51, because I thought there was a chance of that. I just thought maybe it could have been a game where I was expecting more along the lines of a 40-28 game, something in that range, where I thought, okay, the Jays are going to, you know, get some scores. But I think that the fact that they just could only get 7 was really what turned this game around.
Yeah, I mean, Jefferson City had some pass plays that are open that they just missed. They had a couple plays where they had players open downfield and they just missed the throw. So they could have maybe had a little more, but for the most part, I mean, yeah, this was the first game all season that they've really been... I mean, there are games that they lost at the line of scrimmage on offense, but, I mean, the defensive line for Helias, I mean, they played probably the best of any line that's played the Jays this season.
Okay.
Really able to just... With kind of the way the Jays offense work, they would like to run up the middle to kind of set up other plays. And they were able to take that away, and so then Bethune couldn't get as many touches going out wide, and kind of their whole offense just wasn't able to function off of that
sure.
run game like it was able to.
Yeah.
And so that was the first time that's really happened this year. And so when they got put in that spot, they weren't able to really execute a whole that well.
So I guess going forward for the Jays, you know, it's been a season of streaks. You know, you start with 3 losses, you kind of with 3 wins, now you've got a loss. The big thing is you just don't want this to turn into another kind of losing streak from this standpoint. The tough part is you got to get refocused this week because you go to Battle for a 7:00 Friday game. You know, it's a Battle team that's 4-2 overall and 3-1 in the CMAC. So, you know, it's a big game just from the standpoint of, yeah, you don't want to kind of, you know, lose back-to-back games at this point in the season. And from the standpoint of, you know, if you're the Jays and you can win this game, all of a sudden, you know, you're kind of knotted with Battle in the conference standings, which is something where, you know, if you told me at the beginning of the year that that was going to be something where you go, okay, you know what, Jeff City's going to be tied with Battle in the standings at the end of the season, I would have said, sure, give me that. We'll take that at this point. So, you know, it's a game with, you know, a lot still on the table for the Jays at this point. So it should be real easy to get refocused this week.
Yeah, because I mean then that kind of also it's kind of a good indicator that they've taken at least like a step or a half step up from mm-hmm. over the last couple of years, because that just hasn't been the case. They've been pretty solidly in like kind of a purgatory of the scene. Like they'll be above Havlicek and Smith-Cotton, but then those other and Hickman usually, but then I guess those teams both of them are pretty solidly above them too. So even for them, that was kind of the thing with last week. They could have proved that by just being competitive with the last,
right?
But they weren't really able to do that, and so now they get kind of a chance to do that again against Battle.
Yeah, Battle is kind of been a team that's just, you know, it obviously had the loss to Helias that was key to the CMAC race, but you know they got a pretty decent win last week in terms of the CMAC, from the standpoint of, you know, you're able to beat Rockbridge 26-14 and kind of keep things from the standpoint of, yeah, you've beaten the teams that you expected to beat, and then you had the loss to Helias, so now it's a point where, you know, can you close it out with a win over Jeff City, and then, you know, then it's you know, on to week 9 and a non-conference game against Hannibal. So I think both teams have plenty to play for, and it's just going to be one of those games where I feel like, you know, sometimes you get to this point in the season and there just aren't very many intriguing matchups, or, you know, week 8, week 9 can sometimes turn into kind of blah games where you just kind of just like, we're more focused on the postseason. I think this is a week, you know, this is a week, you know, 8 game where you got plenty still on your plate that I think is very intriguing about this one. So I think it should be real, you know, a real fun atmosphere, a very entertaining game from the standpoint of, I think both teams should arrive, you know, with plenty of impetus to win this game.
Yeah, exactly. And also, Battle's kind of a team that they had they had a little bit of a COVID outbreak at the beginning of the year, and they had, I mean, Gary Martin, one of the best running backs in the conference, gets hurt and loses his senior season. So they've started to kind of get some players back from COVID and players back from injuries, and they're really able to they've kind of hit their stride, it seems like, over the past couple weeks. So, you know, this is probably, it seems like they're kind of starting to maybe peak at the right time, but we'll kind of see how that goes this week.
Right. You know, you don't want to look past Battle because they obviously bring plenty to the table, but you also go, okay, you're at Battle, then you're at Fort Zumwalt West, and it's then we're to districts. And so this is kind of one of those things where, you know, you start to look at district standings a little more importantly at this time of year, and you start to maybe gauge where things are shaking out and kind of what you need to expect from things at this point. And so I think it's just natural if you're a Jays fan to kind of keep looking at the district standings and figure out, okay, how are things shaping up at this point?
Yeah, and I mean, for them, kind of their postseason, their goal is going to be to get to that final against Hannibal's, a runaway number one seed at this point. There's nothing they can really do to lose that.
Sure.
And so it's going to be kind of get to the final to have that rematch with them, and I mean, have it hopefully go a lot differently than it did earlier this year.
Right.
And so to do that, they want that. They're in the number two seed now, and if they're there, they get that bye, and that kind of gives them the best chance to shape up and do that. And so if they're at a point where they're a little over 5 points ahead of the three seed, so if they can win one of these next few games, that they're in almost perfect spot to maintain that, and it'll get kind of dicey if they lose these next few, because then you're kind of depending on what other teams do,
sure,
who they play, do they win, and then it just kind of a little more up in the air.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting that bye is going to be big for them because they want Will Berenson back. He did some pregame snaps against Helias, but he didn't really play, and he's kind of eyeing coming back in the postseason.
Okay.
And getting that bye would just give them more time to be a little more careful with him and
sure,
get him back as best as he can be, and just to give other players some rest.
So the first step towards that postseason starts tonight at Battle. So how do you see this one playing out on Friday night?
I think that the offense will be able to get on track a little bit. I think that they'll be able to score a little more points and, you know, have the offensive line play a little better. But Justin Goolsbee and that offense have been really great the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
So I think Battle's going to come away with this one, 35-24.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Anderson Kimball, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.